Gabby wanted to express her disappointment, excuse me, for not being able to come. And I'm sure that if she would be here, you would have a much, much better presentation than I'm able to give to you. But I will do my best to cover the work that was done. If you were here for my presentation, you saw the decline in number of cases of leishmaniasis out of Iraq, mainly due, probably, most likely due to the introduction of air conditioning into the sleeping quarters of places where the soldiers were staying. Unfortunately, soldiers are not able to carry an air conditioner on their backpacks when they go to a lot of places. So even though this has worked to some extent, the soldiers are still exposed to a lot of leishmaniasis and a lot of sandfly pressure as they do their activities. One of the things that we began to look at Walter Reed was the effect of bed nets and the use of bed nets as a means of personal protection and as a means of keeping a method of preventing biting of the sandflies. A little bit of background. With our personal protective measures, even though the soldiers had repellents, they did have bed nets, and they had permethrin-treated uniforms, we still, under these conditions, still had soldiers coming back with leishmaniasis, so there wasn't enough personal protection to actually prevent the disease as much as we really need to. So the standard military bed net is pictured here in this lower photograph. If I can get the pointer to work here. And this has a very, very fine mesh of about 900 holes per square inch. And generally, this is enough to prevent sandflies from getting through. However, because of its very fine pore size, it also prevents a lot of ventilation. And in the kind of habitats that the soldiers were working in, you would find them sleeping on the hoods of their Humvees rather than in these tents because they were just too hot. And so the BedNet program that Gabby began to work on at Walter Reed was to develop an improved self-supporting BedNet that is suitable for long-term deployment. And one of the things they wanted to look at was if they were able to increase the size of the openings in these netting so that there's more ventilation but still able to prevent sandflies from coming through the nets and biting. And one of the ways to do this was to incorporate pesticide into the bed net. And so this was Gabby's objective here. And so she was actually begin by evaluating different types of what she calls long-lasting impregnated bed nets from different sources in industry. Okay, so the ones that she looked at were Permanet, which is from Vesta Garden, and this is a deltamethrin treated net, and it comes in a variety of sizes from 156 mesh to over 625. They also, we as controls, use some of their treated, untreated nets that range from 156 to 270 mesh. And then Olyset from Sumitomo, and this is a permethrin treated bed net, and they had two sizes of 50 and a 100 mesh. And then Inceptor had an alpha cypermethrin treated bed mesh of 625 mesh. And so with these trials and assays, she included a positive control of untreated net of approximately 270 mesh and the standard military mesh of 900 openings. Basically, there were four assays that were used in evaluating these different bed nets. A bed net cup bioassay, and this is sort of like the WHO toxicity assay where the sandflies were exposed, of course, to make contact with the bed net and then looked at the killing of them. And then a bed net size bioassay to determine what size you could actually get away with. And use, and this was only done with the permanent because this was the only one that had multiple sizes of bed nets that were treated. And then a comparison of the different bed nets to see how they stacked up against each other. Some treated with deltamethrin, permethrin, or cyclomethrin. And then a contact feeding bioassay to see if an animal or a human actually were up against the bed net. Would the flies come to that bed net even though it was treated and feed through it and potentially transmit leishmaniasis in that manner? Okay, as far as the materials were concerned, she used Papatossi, Phlebotomus Papatossi from our rare colony and mice as the animal model. And then these bioassay chambers that are modified from the chambers that Graco developed for looking at mosquito assays. This is basically a two-chamber device that has a door in it, and you introduce the flies to one side, and you can put a screen to separate the two chambers and see how the flies go back and forth between the two chambers. In this case, the sand flies were actually released into the metal chamber, and the animal was put into the clear chamber. Okay, the first bioassay, the bed net cup bioassay, and this is to confirm that the insecticide being used is actually toxic to the sand flies. And in this case, we had pint paper cups that the entire inside was lined with the treated nets, and they were exposed to this net and for 3 minutes, and then they were removed and set aside and looked at both the knockdown rate and the killing rate. The second assay, the mesh size bioassay, again it was this was set up in the chambers, and so the different netting materials were put at the door, and the sand flies had to travel through this netting to get to the animals, and so records were kept on the number of sand flies that passed through the net, the number of sand flies that fed, and the number of sand flies that went back the other way through the net. This shows these pore sizes in relation to sand fly size. For the permanent, the 156 mesh was the largest, and as you can see, really sand flies have very little trouble getting through that. But even with the 625 mesh that is much smaller here, untreated nets, sand flies can go through that pretty well too. They kind of wiggle their way and are very good escape artists. So this is the number of sand flies in each chamber with the different size nets over here on the left, the treated and the untreated, and the sand flies starting off in the release chamber and those that moved to the mouse chamber. As you see, there's a general reduction in the number that can pass through as the net becomes smaller. And then the treated net here, or the untreated net, they seem to go through pretty well. So as she points out here, sand flies are able to get through the netting of all the mesh sizes, including the very small 625 mesh. Okay, then the percentage of fed sand flies in each chamber. You see the sand flies move from the chamber over to the mouse chamber and blood fed, and with various pesticides, deltamethrin did not deter the feeding when they went through at all. So even though they were exposed to this pesticide by making contact with the net, they were able to get through and feed sufficiently. And there was no significant difference between percent of flies that fed and the actual size of the net they would have to go through. And you would assume that the smaller the bed net, the more contact and more effort they would have to make to actually get through it, and so they would be actually exposed to the pesticide for a greater amount of time. In general, after they blood fed, they were too fat to get back through the other way, so they kind of remained in the side of the chamber where the mouse was at. The knockdown and mortality rates of sand flies in each chamber. The knockdown mortality was higher for sandflies passing through the permanet compared with untreated net and no nets. For each net, the knockdown of mortality was not significantly different at different time intervals, except for sandflies passing through the very smaller, or the bigger nets, I'm sorry, the bigger hole sizes. Okay, the bed net bioassay determined which type of long-lasting impregnated net, deltamethrin, permethrin, or alpha-cyphermethrin, is most effective against sandflies. And this diagram here shows the net that the flies have to get through to get to the mouse. And again, these are the different meshes they had. We actually used the army net as a control. Again, the number of sandflies in each chamber, fed and unfed, in the sandfly chamber and the mouse chamber for permethrin, we had the highest number of sandflies getting through and being fed, and then alpha cyphermethrin, deltamethrin. If I remember right, they weren't statistical difference, although there is a difference here. Percentage of sandflies in each chamber for each one. Again, a lot of the sandflies got through to the mouse chamber. The insecticide treatment did not deter feeding after sandflies passed through for any of the type of pesticides that were used. For untreated net, no sandflies bled fed were unable to get through the net. Fed sandflies were probably too large to pass back and forth, as we mentioned earlier. The kill rate and the knockdown in flies, there was no kill rate or knockdown observed in the controls. Each of the treated nets did end up causing a knockdown in the mortality, including unfed and also fed sandflies. Deltamethrin had the highest knockdown and mortality rate, particularly for unfed flies in the sandfly chamber. Okay, the last bioassay was a contact feeding bioassay, and in this situation, the mouse's tail was put into a box or a container containing the sandflies, and then there was the netting was actually not stapled to, but stapled around the tail, so that it prevented had a barrier between the tail and the sandflies, but was in contact with the tail. And then the controls, there was no netting. So this here shows the layout of the experiment and the two chambers. Okay, again, the insecticide treatment did not deter the sandflies from feeding on the mouse tail through any of the netting material. And there was no difference in feeding rates between the treated and untreated netting. Again, there was no knockdown or mortality observed in the controls. Deltamethrin and alpha cyphermethrin caused greater knockdown and mortality than permethrin in the cases examined here. In this case, it was a little different than the cup assay, where that not all the flies that were in the chamber actually came into contact with the net. Some of them just rested on the side, didn't make an attempt to feed. So there wasn't 100% contact with the net. Okay, in summary, insecticide treatment on long-lasting impregnated nets did not deter sandflies from feeding. The netting material with finer mesh generally provides a better physical barrier to sandflies. Sandflies are able to get through the 625 mesh, or the smallest mesh netting, even the ones that were treated, and did feed on the mice. And these results demonstrate that up to half the sandflies still survived. Knockdown and mortality rates generally were below 80% in most cases. Long-lasting insecticide impregnated bed nets are one aspect of an effective integrated control program consisting of other measures, including the repellents and so on. Acknowledgements at RARE. Phil was helped in a lot, and Toby Rowland, our super tech, and then the industrial partners, BASF, Sumitomo, and Vastergaard, Branston, and this funding was funded by the MidRIP program at Walter Reed. Gabby did give me her cell phone number, so if there are any questions that I can't answer, I've got my cell phone here and we can give her a call.
We have plenty of time for questions. For Ed. Yes.
Don't you see that the distance of this chamber was too small to assess the effect on biting? The result strikes me because long time ago we did this field bioassay, and where we volunteered and we stayed in 5 deadliest, and we tried to predict flies coming to bite us. And with the impregnated head net, mosquito standard, once western flies can pass through, we got like 100% reduction. And we had also another study where we used curtains, blocking doors and windows of rooms, and we had light, we had a sticky beaver trap. And we saw a lot of flies passing through, but we resulted with very low feeding rate. And eventually, when we did another bioassay, we found that by the time when they pass, like in a few minutes, they lost their ability to bite. And so I'm worried that the distance is too short, that they still have the chance. But in real life, they are not going to get that chance.
You may be right in a situation where you putting nets up around a house or curtains in a house. By the time they get through the curtains and the time it takes them to get to their target may be a matter of several minutes to maybe hours. However, I think in a bed net situation, in this case, once they get through, it's 3 or 4 seconds before they actually have time to get to the sandfly. In a bed net with a soldier in it, it may be 10 or 15 seconds. And I don't think in that time frame that this assay is out of line for looking at the possibility of killing.
Ed, you talked about the mesh size. Is there any work with comparing mesh sizes with the repellents, such as DEET or Preparedin or anything along those lines?
Not yet, no. I guess the permethrin actually tends to work more like a repellent for sandflies. The other two are more knock down pesticides. And I've often in my own mind worried about the use of permethrin for sandflies, say in the military uniforms. In my mind, that drives them to the skin. So if they're not using the repellent, they may be actually getting exposed more to sandfly bites with the treated uniforms because the knockdown, as you see, is not very quick. I think that if you're going to look at these bigger mesh sizes and want to keep the flies from going through, you probably need to look more at something that has a repellent effect as compared to a contact pesticide effect. Yeah, and it does need to be looked at, and I'm sure that's in the back of Gabby's mind and involved in her program and what she wants to do.
For the standalone RV net at the moment is 900 mesh, right?
Right.
Can it be below that, or it has to be at least 900 mesh to prevent physical?
Well, if it's below that, you saw that sandflies were going through the 625 mesh without any problem. So if you go below that, yeah, you're going to get sandflies going through. I mean, it's an idea of trying to come up with a net that the soldiers are going to use, because compliance with any type of personal preventive measures is very important. You may have what they need, but if they don't use it, and they don't use it because it's too hot, it doesn't do any good. So the idea here is to come up with some combination here that they will use and still prevent the transmission or the biting of the sandflies.